as the special moments of awe of Yom Kippur begin to fill the air, in Yeshivat Shalavim we feel an additional sense of awe. Entering the yard site this year, the 21st yard site of our dear Talmud Mati Hornstein, Alav Shalom. After reading the chapter this week about Mati and his parents in the newly released book Uncommon Sense, which we distributed this week in the yeshiva, the chapter about Mati, we all have an even deeper sense of respect for the Hornstein family, the very unique young man that Mati was, the very special people that Alex, Vera, and Avi Hornstein are, responding to a situation of despair with hope, and from devastating loss with eternal building. Tonight we are extremely privileged and honored to hear Divrei Torah and Chizuk from Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky, a very close friend of the Hornstein family, as you read about in the chapter, Walking the Edge. It is our hope that through our preparation for this Yom Kippur, through our avoda on Yom Kippur itself, and through all of our efforts during this coming year, we will perpetuate Mati Hornstein's legacy, a legacy of idealism, sterling character, and commitment to Torah, Am Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael. Harav Twersky.
Thank you so much. Good evening. Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Rabbanim, Hornstein family. Several weeks ago, I was asked to participate in a panel by the Chofetz Chaim Foundation on forgiveness, mechila. And I didn't know there was much to talk about. Yeah, so if you're marchal with somebody, you ask for mechila, you get mechila, come on, what's there to hold a panel for? So I started reading up a little bit, and I got an education. I didn't realize how much there is about Mechila that I did not know. And so having had this experience, and in as much as Yom Kippur really is all about forgiveness, I thought I'd share with you some of the things that I found in preparation for that panel. First of all, let me tell you, I think that we have a mistaken concept of Mechila. Yes, of course, we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechila or Vegas, we understand that. But there's another concept of Mechila, and that is that, as you know, the halach is that on Yom Kippur, Vegas bin Odom HaChaveroi, Vegas bin Odom HaChaveroi are not forgiven, unless you obtain the mechila from the person whom you offended or harmed. So that there is a concept of mechila between one person and another. And the Shulchan Aruch says that the person who is asked mechila, lo yihya achzari, should not be cruel, should not refuse to grant mechila. Alright, so somebody's offended you. says something wrong about you, harmed you in any way. And the expectation is that you should be moichel. Now some people will say, well, after what he did to me, I can't be moichel. We have a strange concept of mechila because we have a concept of mechila by a choiv, by a loan. Right? Somebody owes you $1,000, right, and you expect to get paid, and if he asks you to forgive the loan, and if you are moichel the loan, then he benefits. He doesn't have $20,000 anymore. And of course you lose out because you don't collect $1,000. So in the mechila of a loan or mechila of money, the person whom you forgive benefits from your forgiveness. And so we think about that when it comes to being moichel, somebody who offended us or harmed us. Why should I forgive him? Doesn't deserve it. As though you are doing him a favor by forgiving him. That's a concept of mechila that we transfer from money affairs to personal feelings. Because mechila is not for the person whom you're moichel. Mechila is for yourself. Take a very simple example. Let's assume you're not going to be moichel, okay? Somebody did you something injurious. And you are not going to be moichel. You're going to retain that resentment and grudge against them. Okay? Question for you. What are you going to do with that? So now you got this resentment. Now you got this grudge. What kind of use are you going to put it to? You have a chance. You'll get back at him. No. The Torah says you're not allowed to get back at him. Lo sikom. You're not allowed to take revenge. Well, maybe you won't take revenge, but maybe one day he'll come to you and ask a favor for you, and you say, this is my opportunity. And you'll say, all right, I'll do it for you, even though you don't deserve it because you're no good, but I'm not like you. So the child says, no, you can't do that. There's a lava losita. If he asks you a favor and you can do it, you've got to do it. And you can't tell him that I'm a nicer guy than you are. So, with Lesikam and Lesita, right, you have absolutely nothing to do with a grudge. Except keep it inside your head and inside your stomach. It's useless. Let me ask you, friend. When you have an item which is totally useless, what do you do with it? Get rid of it. Right? If you only think of it in that way, carrying a resentment, since we have a love of lesita, is totally useless. The only thing that's going to happen is that if you keep it, it'll gizzle you, And you won't be able to sleep well at night. And it's been demonstrated that resentments can actually have a physical effect on causing people migraine headaches and digestive disorders. And yes, heart attacks. So, it's so foolish to keep a resentment because that's like swallowing poison and expecting the other person is going to die. Doesn't work. So I began to understand when I started preparing for this panel that this is a new concept of mechila. Mechila isn't for other person. Mechila is for me. If I can be mechila other person, I get rid of something useless, something that I've been carrying along, and somebody said it very well when he said, hanging on to a resentment is really allowing someone who you don't like to live inside your head without paying any rent. And you know, that's the point. Why should I give the other person the privilege of sitting inside my head?
Right? He doesn't deserve it. And so when we are moichel, we relieve ourselves of that burden. So mechila is for ourselves, not for the other person. Now, there are times when carrying a grudge is useful. Although I can only think of one time, and that is when the Torah tells us, "Zochar asher osa lecho Amalek." Remember what Amalek did to you. Here the Torah tells us, "Tikon," take revenge. Timchazeh Amalek mitas hashemayim. There's a purpose to remembering it because you have an obligation to eliminate Amalek. Okay. If I got something to do with that resentment, then I can keep it. I can put it to use. But other than that, other than the case of Amalek, since we have Galav of Leisikam and Leisita, there's nothing you can do with it. Plus the fact that if you do carry a grudge, which means that you really have some bad feelings toward the other person, we have a lot of lessness of hechadulvachy, not allowed to hate another person. Now, think of it this way. A person eats treif, chas v'shalom. Did an aveda. How long did that aveda take? Right. 2 minutes. Right. He had a big treif for sandwich to take 4 minutes. So he had an aveda for 4 minutes. If you have an aveda of lesisnos achicha vilvecho, and you carry the resentment against the other person, you are over an aveda 7 days a week, 12 months a year, 365 days. A constant aveda. Nobody wants that. So we have to find ways of getting rid of our resentments. Now it's a simple thing to say, "I'm moichel." Yeah, you know, there's in the Siddurim, the big Siddurim in Kishma, there's a little paragraph before Shema Yisrael that says, "Rabbani Shalom, I'm moichel everybody, anybody who harmed me in any way, physically, morally, emotionally, I'm moichel, I don't want anybody to be punished because of me." That's fine. It's a wonderful thing to say. But they tell a story that of Lapiana was once approached by someone who wanted mechila because I spoke Lashon Hara about you. So Lapiana said, "And what did you say about me?" So he told him. He said, "Come back in 2 weeks." 2 weeks later he came back, he says, "I'm moichel. When you told me that initially, I was so angry at you that I couldn't be moichel. So I had to sit down and learn Musa for 2 weeks, right, in order to cleanse myself, right, and prepare myself that when I say I'm moichel, I really mean it." But you know, it's a matter of perspective. Very interesting. You know, there's the story of the Gaon Tzedek of Vilna. There was a son of a nobleman in Vilna who was Catholic, and he converted to Yiddishkeit. And the church wanted to execute him. And so he went and he hid out in the village, and he was not detected until somebody developed a grudge against him and turned him over to the authorities of the church. And they proceeded to execute him, to burn him at stake. And as he was about to be set on fire, the executioner said to him, "And so, when you get up to heaven, you're going to take vengeance against me, huh?" And the Gaon Tzedek said, "No." He says, "You know, when I was a child, and my father was a powerful nobleman, I had a friend, and we were playing together, and my friend got angry at me, and I had some little toy clay soldiers, and he took and he smashed them. And I was so angry at him, and I complained to my father, and I told my father to punish him. But my father did nothing. So I said, well, wait a second, well, wait till I grow up. And when I get to be in the position of my father and I will have that kind of power, then I will punish him." He says, "When I grew up, I realized how silly it was to make a fuss of a few little lead soldiers. I did nothing." So he said to the executioner, "When I get up to heaven, and I'll realize how puny this little body of mine was that you destroyed."
He says, I'm not going to seek revenge. Right now we might think that this puny little body is something, but when I get up to heaven, I'll realize that there is more to me than a body. And what you destroyed was really nothing.
Now, that is a perspective of a kodesh, of a holy person like the Gil Tzaddik. But I came across something in Yesod V'Shele Shalvoidim, beautiful Sefer, where he says that the way to prevent carrying a grudge is to be melamed zchus on everyone. And when somebody does something nasty, try to find a way to justify it if possible. And he said, he go to the most absurd explanations just to find a way to melamed zchus. As a good example, there's the story of Rabbi Levin, who one day was participating in a levaya, a funeral, and one of the people who was walking with him in the levaya was a very close friend of the niftar. On the way, this person separates from the procession and goes over to a stand where they were selling flower pots, and he bought a flower pot. And Rabbi Levin was very angry. He's participating in the final tribute to a close friend of his. Is that the time to go buying flower pots? So later on he felt he had an obligation of ocheach tochiach to reprimand him, give him musa. So he called him aside and he said, look, what you did was very inappropriate. And the man said, well, let me explain. This person who died of a serious contagious disease, and the doctor said that everything that he came in contact with has to be burned. And that included his tefillin. And I asked them not to burn the tefillin. They said, no, they've got to get rid of everything. So I said, trust me. Give me the tefillin and I will see that they are properly disposed. So they gave me the tefillin. And I took the tefillin and I'm going to bury them according to halacha. And according to burying them in aloha, I have to put them into a earthenware container. So that's why I stopped off to pick up a flower pot, so that when we go to the levaya, I can put the tefillin, I can bury this tefillin. So Rabbi Levin says, after that, I am always melamed zchus. Who would have thought such a thing? Always melamed zchus on everyone. And Yisod V'Shele Shalvoidim says something very interesting. He says, our minhag is that before we need matzah, and Pesach, we say, Hineni mulchan mizumen lekayim mitzvah achilas matzah. Last week we said, Hineni mulchan mizumen lekayim mitzvah l'shmaya kol shofar. And so we say, Hineni mulchan. He says, when somebody does something bad to you, say, Hineni mulchan mizumen lekayim mitzvah b'tzedek tishpat amisecho. There's a mitzvah esed to be melamed zchus on a person. And if you can try to be melamed zchus, you are fulfilling a mitzvah of the tzedek tishpat amisecho with the mitzvah esed d'raisa. And maybe you don't find a zchus, right? But you try. The mitzvah is to try. And if we can try to find a zchus on a person, we can decrease the likelihood that we're going to have resentment and have a problem of whether we can be mindful or not. There are some beautiful stories. And incidentally, learning Musa is just wonderful. There's something that's even better. And that is learning about the lives of tzaddikim, how they lived the lives of the principle of Musa. And from them we can see the perfection of Midos. There was a rov in town Kapulia. His name was Rabbi Yontiv Litvak. And one day his wife went into the marketplace and she wanted to buy something for Shabbos. And another woman, who apparently wanted to buy the same duck or the same turkey or whatever it was, accosted her and insulted her and this was the woman who was the wife of the Parnas Seir, of the director of the in charge of the Jewish community. And she insulted her very grossly. When the word got around about this, they said, hey, that woman has to be put in her place. She has to be punished. And they could have done some action to punish her, but according to the principle, it can't be done without the permission of the Rov. And they knew that if they asked the Rov to punish this woman, he wouldn't do it. So they told the Rebbetzin, wait until a propitious time when you can tell the Rov how you were defended and insulted publicly by this woman, so that he will allow us to take some punitive action. Comes Friday night after Kiddush, she tells her husband, I have something to tell you. The wife of the Parnas Seir accosted me publicly and insulted me publicly, and the community wants to take some action on it, and they need your permission. And he said, when did this happen? He said, on Wednesday. He says, you mean you've been walking around for 3 days with a grudge? We have to go to her house and ask Mechila. You were walking around 3 days with a grudge against her. And so, he put on his kaftan, and he and his wife went to this woman's house. And when she saw that the Rov was there with the Rebbetzin, she thought the Rov was coming to curse her. And when the Rebbetzin said, I came to ask you for Mechila because I was carrying a grudge against you for 3 days, and this woman broke down crying, he said, you're asking Mechila from me? I have to be asking Mechila from you. And what could have been a whole babalaka turned out to be a formation of a close friendship. That's what happens when you can be ma'vir al midoysa. And the Chachomim have the greatest praise for a person who is ma'vir al midoysa, where they say, oyhavom ketzeis Hashemesh b'gvura. He is beloved by Hashem, and is as brilliant and bright as the sun at its zenith. There is a wonderful story about Rabbi Saul Salant. Rabbi Saul Salant was on his way to Vilna, and in the same cabin, the train that he was, the same cabin, there was a young man who was very insulting to him, and he said to him, put out your cigar, that offends me. And Rabbi Saul could have said, this car is a smoking car. You don't want the smoking car, go to another car. But instead, Rabbi Saul said nothing, put out his cigar. A few minutes later, he says, look at that old man. Yeah. Opens the window up and gives me a draft. Yeah. Close that window, old man. Rabbi Saul said, I didn't open the window, but I'll close it. When they came to Vilna, and a crowd of hundreds of people greeted Rabbi Saul Salant, and he realized whom he had offended and to whom he was chutzpahdik. He felt very bad. He found out where Rabbi Saul Salant was staying, and he came next morning to ask Mechila. Rabbi Saul Salant said, I was moichel right at the beginning. But tell me, young man, what brings you to Vilna? He says, I came here to get Bechina by the Rabbonim so that I could get Kabbalah to become a Shoichet. So Saul Salant said, oh, maybe I will help you. My son-in-law is over in Vilna, so I'll arrange for you to meet with him. So he was arranged a meeting with his son-in-law. Turned that out that he was no more suitable to be a Shoichet, you know, than I am Shoichet, so to be an acrobat. You know, he just didn't have it. So Rabbi Saul Salant said, no, don't lose hope. I'll get you a teacher. And so he got one of the older shochtim to learn, study with him, and spent several weeks at his expense. until the person got Kabbalah Shechita. When someone who heard about this said to Rabbi Yisrael, is that you wanted to be Moichelim? Okay, so you're Mavir al Midoiso. So you're Moichel. But you had to go to that extent to get him a teacher to teach him Kabbalah for to teach him Hilchot Shechita, and at your expense? What was that for? So someone said the halacha is that a machshava, when you a person has made a keli, right, and he has a machshava that the keli is finished now, right? So now the keli can make a kabbal tuma, he finished his work. But later he decides, no, I'm going to do something more to it. It still is mekabel tuma, right? Because his original machshava made a gemar on the keli. In order to take that off, he has to do a maaser. He has to take the keli and actually fashion it into something else, and then that maaser will undo the machshava. He says, initially when this young man offended me, I was angry. And so I had a machshava. I had a machshava of a grudge. It's true that I was moichel, but that was only a machshava. And one machshava does not cancel the other one. So in order to get rid of that original negative machshava, I had to do a maaser. That is a concept of how to deal with mechila. That if someone has done you some harm, try to do a maaser to make your mechila worth, to make your mechila firm. And if there's nothing that you can do for him, be mispallel for him. That you can always do. Ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him matzlocha, to give him a refuah, to give him whatever he might need. That's what our gedolim are teaching us. There's a story about Rebbe Levinsky of Baditchev, who had enormous redifas, enormous persecutions. And one day when he was living in Minsk at the time, and the opposition, when he was out of town, the opposition got together and they took his wife and children and put them on the wagon that carries the garbage out of town and sent them out of town. It was a horrible, horrible act. And Rebbe Yitzchak's Talmid Chaverim came to the Wolf of Zhytomyr and they said, bring down a curse on these people that they've done such a heinous thing. And Rebbe Wolf says, I can't, because Rebbe Lev Yitzchak is standing with his tilim by the Yochan Kodesh and he's being mispallel that Hashem should not punish them. I can't undo that. Mavir al Medoisa. Our Gedolim taught us how to be Mavir al Medoisa. You know, the Chofetz Chaim had several people who went around after he became Mefusim selling his form. And then one day, one of the agents who was selling his form came to tell them how many shvorim he sold and they'll make the cheshbon. And so they sat down and they made the cheshbon of how many shvorim he sold and how much money he has to give the Chofetz Chaim. Turns out that there was a shortfall of the money. So the man explained, look, I'll tell you what happened. He says, my wife has been nagging me. We don't have a this in the house. We don't have this in the house. And she's been really after me so much that I couldn't resist it. I took some of the money to get what my wife wanted. And I'll try and make it up sometime. So the Chofetz Chaim said, don't try and make it up. I'm moichel that. And the man left. After the man left, he heard the Chofetz Chaim calling him. Come back, come back. Comes back and the Chofetz Chaim says, here is a scarf, a shawl, that you'll give your wife so maybe she won't nag you so much. That's how our gedolim operated. And that's what it means for us to be a mensch. You know, I wrote a book called Let Us Make Men, in which I thought I originated a perish in a posik, but then I found out later on that it wasn't mine because the Baal Shem Tov said it. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the last, on the sixth day, when the creation of Adam Rishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayomer Elokim, na'aseh odo. Let us make a person. Who's the us? Say it on the perish of Rashi, that Hashem took counsel with the Malochim in order to show that a person, even a very brilliant person, should seek advice from those beneath him. The Baal Shem Tov said that there was another meaning to Nasa Odom also. And he pointed out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything in himself. The oceans, the rivers, the galaxies, whatever. And he created all kinds of Malochim. And he created all kinds of Chayas. But every creature that Hashem created was created in a state of completion. So Hashem created alligators. So what does a little alligator have to do? It's to become a big alligator. And what does a little elephant do? It has to become a big elephant. No creature has to change itself. No malach has to change himself. Both malachim and animals were created in a state of completion. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, now I want a different creature. This is a creature that I'm going to create in a state of incompletion, imperfection. And this creature has to perfect himself. This creature has to work on himself and develop himself into what I want him to be. So I could make man as perfect to begin with and make him totally spiritual. So help me another malach. I got enough malach. I don't want another malach. So purposely I'm going to make this creature imperfect and incomplete, and that creature has to participate in his creation and making himself complete. Na'aseh Odom. I and the creature together will make him into an Odom. I'll give him the potential and he'll work at it. This is what happened on the sixth day of creation, which we celebrated on Rosh Hashanah. And we have the assignment of Na'aseh Odom, that we have to make ourselves into men. And this is what happens when we get ourselves in Meitshuva, in Yom Kippur, and we take a look as to what kind of things, what kind of midas we have, and we remember where the Tanakh says that Ayah Pera Odom Yevoleh, that a person comes into the world as a wild mule, with all these animal traits that we come in with, and that we have to change them and perfect ourselves and become spiritual people. And we have these enormous gedolim to look up to see what it means to transform a person's midas. Just one more thing. There is a Rashi, which you remember, which is something that is totally inexplicable. A person once came to a Rav and he said, you know, every Yom Kippur, I daven, I ask for kapora, I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moichel, but I don't feel myself being forgiven. So the Rav said to him, have you forgiven others who offended you? He says, yes. Have you totally forgiven them so that you've uprooted every bit of negative feelings or harsh feelings toward them? He says, no, I can't say that I did. He says, you see, you have never forgiven anybody totally, and so you don't know what forgiveness means. That's why you can't accept forgiveness. You want to feel forgiven? You have to have the experience of having totally forgiven others. Then you'll be able to feel what it's like to feel forgiven. And then the Lord said, you know something? Now I understand the Rashi. Rashi quotes the Gemara, where by Rosh Chodesh and the Kabbalah of Rosh Chodesh, it says, Usir izim echad chatos l'Hashem. On every other yontiv it says, Usir izim et chatos. Bring a korban chatos. And here it says, chatos l'Hashem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says on Rosh Chodesh, where there's a chiddush of the Levona, Heviyu alai korban, shemi'atati es ha-Levona. Hashem says, bring a korban for me, for forgiveness for me, because I reduced the levona. Remember, Shneimar HaSagdoilim, the time of creation, there were two great luminous bodies, and the levona said, you can't have two kings with one, two crowns, right? So one of us has to be greater than the other. Hashem said, okay, so you go reduce yourself. And he made the levona smaller. And Hashem said, I want to be forgiven for having shrunk the levona. What does that mean? What does that mean that Kodesh Boko wants to be forgiven? So the Lord said, now I understand. We want to be able to feel totally forgiveness. We want to be able to feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moichel us completely. So Hashem says, I understand what it means to be forgiven. I understand what forgiveness is. And because I understand what forgiveness is, therefore I can be moichel you totally. Beautiful concept. And so in this preparation for this panel on Mechila, I learned a lot of things. And the basic thing that I learned is to remember that when the Shulchan Aruch says that if somebody has to be moichel, don't be an achzori, don't be cruel. And I said, no, it's not don't be an achzori. Don't be a fool. If he asks you to be moichel, right, you have this wonderful opportunity to get rid of whatever kind of resentment and grudge you had against them. And not to do so is absolutely foolish. As this person said, you're allowing somebody to live inside your head without paying any rent. You don't like the guy. So as we approach Yom Kippur and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness, we should be able to walk away Motzei Yom Kippur with that feeling of, I have been totally forgiven. Everything. As we say by Tashlich, and the Avedas are thrown away into the deep depth of the sea from which they will never be retrieved. And we walk away with a feeling of total forgiveness in which we can go into Sukkos and Simchas Torah with a true Simchas Chag. So with that concept of Mechila that I learned for this panel, but I share it with you, so that when this Yom Kippur, you will be able to not only achieve Mechila from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you'll also be able, whatever circumstances were, to be Mechila everyone, and to be Mechila with a full heart, with great sincerity, to be able to walk away from Yom Kippur with a feeling of freshness, having unburdened yourself of a burdensome negative feeling, and be able to approach Sukkos with a true Simchas Chag. And that Simchas Chag should last you. Moyadim l'simcha does not say moyadei simcha. Does not mean moyadim of simcha, but moyadim for simcha. Meaning that from the Simchas Chag we should be able to carry simcha all year around. So Kodesh Baruch Hu should give you a gemar chasima taiva, a good geben shtyol, and a great deal of simcha.
We'd like to ask Rabbi Glinsky to please say the Kel Mole after the Kel Mole. Afterwards, we ask if we can have 10 guys will stay behind for a minion for Myrov. Alex, Mr. Hornstein will daven for the Omid. So just to make sure we're organized, if you can raise your hand, we need 10. Okay, that's it. Okay, the guys who have their hands in the air, please stay behind for Maariv. Thank you very much.